On today's episode of the Glue Guys, we're going to discuss how Nets basketball is actually going to come back. We're going to have scrimmages on Yes Network. There's also the startling news that the NBA has had zero positive tests while in the bubble. What does that mean? Joe Tsai, Mets owner?
Nice read.
And Brian and I have been ironing our tinfoil hats, and I will tell you exactly why Greg Popovich will be announced as head coach of your Brooklyn Nets in the not too distant future. Fellas, I want to ask you a very important question before we get started with the show. Are you prepared to unveil your summer bod? The beaches are open, the sun is shining, and the bushes must be tamed. Fellas, listen to me. Manscaped is here to ensure your post-quarantine body is ready for the wild. They're doing this thing called the perfect package here at Manscaped. So you'll find within the perfect package the Manscaped Crop Preserver, an anti-chafing ball deodorant and moisturizer, because we know how painful chafing can be while you're wearing your bathing suit all day long. You also find the Crop Reliever, a below-the-belt toner that's designed to give you a pep in your step and smell great. So if you subscribe to the perfect package and get a new blade refill for your lawnmower trimmer from Manscaped delivered to your door every 3 months. And for a limited time, subscribers can get two free gifts, the Shed Travel Bag, $39 value, please, thank you, and the patented high-performance reduced chafing Manscaped Boxer Briefs. Get 20% off plus free shipping with the code THEATHLETIC20 at manscaped.com. Do yourself a favor and always use the right tools for the job. Go to manscaped.com today and use code THEATHLETIC20. Welcome back to the Glue Guys. This is Mike here, Sale O'Brien.
Hello. Oof. Whoa. Whoa.
That was that much of a place.
Really off key. Wow. Sorry, everybody.
Check us out on Twitter at BK Glue Guys, netsdaily.com. The Athletic. Get 40% off an annual subscription to The Athletic. And why you should do that right now. Oh, theathletic.com/glueguys is how you do that. Sports are coming back. Hey, baseball this week, baseball, basketball next week. And we talk about basketball on this very show.
That's for this show. Yeah.
So you should get back into The Athletic because it's going to be a crazy ride.
I finally got one, Mike. I've been actually checking it now too. It's been great.
Do you want to tell people what happened?
I mean, I got signed up for the free trial and then it just converted me, which, you know, I'm loath to do my own conversion. So I needed the push off the edge. And I got to tell you, Mike, and this is not an advertisement, you know, this isn't for, I mean, I'm not here with a gun to my head saying these nice things about The Athletic. I like it. I think it's good. And I'm reading these articles. Okay. So that's,
I don't know why I appreciate it. I don't have
I appreciate it.
Yeah. I've become an evangelist for The Athletic since I've worked here. Everyone sign up, please do it now. So what we are going to discuss, and if you heard in our little tease at the top of the show, there's a disturbing amount of Nets news.
Yeah, you seem freaked out.
half of it, though, is of my own creation. So if you've been following our Twitter at BK Glue Guys, I got really passionate about the different threads that I think will lead to the fact that Greg Popovich will be the head coach for your Brooklyn Nets. That is not the best chance, but I'm just saying.
Can I say something? You know, please. And I've had people pull me aside off the street, really just stop cold in my tracks and be like, you know, you guys were, you know, we didn't nail the Kevin Durant coming back thing, but we did nail the Kevin Durant Kyrie Irving coming to the team in the first place thing. Okay. We put out, we manifested that in the ether long before that was a, you know, we were seen as crazies, as crockpots, truly. But Mike, you are an expert at turning over each stone and leaf. You're just in the muckety muck. You're in the dirt. And you dig up, you know, the evidence that turns into huge, amazing stories.
I'm a caterpillar digging through. I'm digging through that grass. I got all the little hairs sticking up, all my little antennae, and I'm just trying to receive news. And I'll tell you why I think Greg Popovich will be the coach for your Brooklyn Nets. And by me saying this already, I'm just going to say, I don't think it means it's the best chance, but I do think there is a better than expected chance that he will, in fact, be the head coach for the Brooklyn Nets.
I liked your line of thinking on this. I'll say that much. I thought it was a good line.
Thank you. But let's first begin with a couple of news items about your Brooklyn Nets. The Nets are going to have scrimmages. Oh, my gosh. They're going to play scrimmages. They're going to be shown on. Yes, we don't really know. The first game is Wednesday. And we're recording this on Tuesday. So very soon you're going to be seeing your Nets on the basketball court.
Yeah. What time is that? Do you know?
I think it's prime time, baby.
Really?
7:30.
7:30. Okay.
It's big time. I don't know what I could really say what I'm like super excited about in terms of that. Like, what am I looking for? Because it's a scrimmage, and I have a feeling, just from hearing how a lot of coaches talk about, everyone's going to take it very relaxed.
There's not going to be a summer league vibe, eh? Is that the?
But even less than summer league, because summer league you have guys trying to prove themselves,
right?
This, I think, is just going to be like Caris LeVert's going to play 10 minutes, and then, you know, we're going to see a lot of Chris Chioza, we're going to see a lot of Tyler Johnson. Do you even play Jamal Crawford? Like, what are you going to get out of that time with Jamal Crawford? But, you know, it's in tandem with another achievement that the NBA has done this week, which is Shams Charania from The Athletic has reported, and eventually the NBA confirmed, no positive tests at all of the players that have been in the bubble. Literally in the bubble, there have been no positive tests. Even of the players who were ordering delivery of food or calling girlfriends to fly them into Orlando for one night sojourns. That's a huge deal, Brian. That's a big deal. I mean, obviously, you know, the bubble can always burst down the line. This who knows if the beginning is the hardest part or the middle, because as time drags on, people maybe get more adventurous. But it's showing that at least for a week, 2 weeks, the bubble maintains. It is maintained strength.
Do you think that's why Michael Beasley wanted to contract the virus and get out of the situation? Do you think that was like sort of like, you know how there was like this? You don't like that. You don't like the look.
I don't think we should joke about people wanting to get the virus.
Sorry. Jeez. Yes. Well, I do that.
Are people who have lied about getting the virus. So there have been like employees who have lied about getting the virus. And then employers have found it after the fact.
So that's what I'm more getting at, that Michael Beasley lied about getting the virus. I can see you're sweating already. Sorry, everybody. You know, I don't know. I'm from a different generation. I'm Gen X.
You know? But you should be disappointed that Michael Beasley isn't.
I'm massively disappointed, but I think I obviously don't think that he did this on purpose. That was a meme, and it was a lowbrow joke, okay? It wasn't great. But the point is like when he saw the conditions on Twitter of the, you know, fire festival-esque cheese and bread sandwiches and, you know, his inability to access all the finer things in life, he maybe just wanted to put out the fact that he had, you know, a job offer and then quickly like rescinded it and was like, I might wrap this up.
So have you ever been on a cruise? Have you taken a family cruise?
I've actually not ever done that. And I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing.
Probably a good thing, right? I mean, I've been on a couple of family cruises when I was younger. I'm talking pre-bar mitzvah years.
The prime of your life.
That was when
bathing suit really, years. Yeah.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. Oh, so much anxiety trying to put on that bathing suit. The body that I had as an 11-year-old.
Yeah.
I basically was the same weight as I am now.
Yeah. Were you a big kid, huh? Yeah,
wow. I was a chunker. So the thing about a cruise is when you get on it, it's so exciting. There's all this food that you can eat at any point of the day. I was obsessed with drinking hot chocolate. I was 11 years old. But there was just hot chocolate available coming out of a spout. Not just like Swiss Miss
on
packets.
Tap. Yeah.
On tap hot chocolate. And that had, you know, they had a dispenser for whipped cream. And I was like, I don't care it's 95 degrees out in the Caribbean. I am drinking hot chocolate right now.
Yeah, you're doing keg stands on the hot chocolate tab. I get it.
By myself.
Yeah, gargoyling it.
So when you're on a cruise, when you start out, you're excited about the food, hit that water slide, get in the pool. Uh-huh. Everything is great because the whole presentation of everything's a B, but it's just everywhere. And you don't have to pay. Well, you paid for it initially, but as an 11-year-old, you're like, oh, pizza. I get to eat pizza.
Did we get a Carnival Cruise sponsorship you didn't tell me about? What is this? What's going on here?
But I'm going to say, I love what I'm seeing from at NBA Bubble Life. I love that all the NBA players are excited about the fishing, playing cornhole, going golfing. Caris LeVert golfing. I don't know if you saw any videos of that, but that was embarrassing.
Really?
Yeah, it's so bad.
He had a bad swing, huh?
That does make me feel good that really athletic people are horrible at golf.
What's up with all the knee bending in golf? That's what I was just talking about my friend with this. Like, I do think the club should be a little longer. I should be straight legged. You know,
there's actually kind of a revolutionary golfer on the tour right now, Bryson DeChambeau.
Okay,
who everyone hates him in golf. He takes a very analytical approach to golf. He actually recently gained 30 pounds.
Just for golf.
Just girth.
Just golf gut, yeah.
Not even muscle, just girth, because he believed the physics of his body would be better if he was fat.
That I have that same kind of denial that self-delusion that I do for myself. I'd be like, you know, in a like MMA fight, I, you know, my body like Daniel Cormier, you know, it's got a good center of mass, good balance. You know, that's so he seems like one of DeChambeau. What is his name?
Bryson DeChambeau.
DeChambeau. Is he from like New Orleans or something? Is he a Cajun? Sounds Cajun.
Well, he's from California, but there's something, right? There's something there. And he wears one of those sort of, I don't know how to describe those hats, like a cabbie hat. Do you know one of those? You know what I'm talking about? Like what?
Like a newsboy hat?
Like a Kangol hat, but instead of how Samuel L. Jackson does it backwards, it's forwards.
I think they call that a Jeff cap. A Jeff cap.
Oh, there it is.
I think.
He is hated. Hated by
that. Yeah, Jeff cap wearing is bad. That's not, it's hard to, I was all the way with him until that point, but yeah.
But anyways, I kind of think the NBA bubble in Disney is a little bit like a cruise right now. These guys have been in quarantine, you know, or should have been in quarantine for a long period of time. And then they get to this point where, you know, they probably missed their families or missed whatever their home situation was. But everyone would be excited to go see your friends / coworkers who you play basketball with. And then you get to go do swimming relays and cornhole and golf. And you get to do all the, and go fishing, and fishing's a really big deal. I kind of think as we go along here, especially when basketball really begins and things get actually competitive, that we're going to see less of this sort of like pleasant day summer camp vibe, and the players will get bored in some way. And, you know, does the bubble maintain as the boredom sets in?
Yes. Yeah. Care packages can only keep your attention for so long. There's so much candy going on in the bubble. People, they just love candy in there, those NBA players.
A disturbing amount of candy for a professional athlete.
Yeah.
Like,
investigate the candy habits of professional sports, like just athletes across the board. Is that a normal thing for everybody?
Is
there a culture of candy in the NBA?
I think there's a huge culture of candy. There was some NBA player who like had like always in his car, just like I think it was like Lamar Odom. Lamar Odom was like obsessed with candy and other things, but he really loved candy. And like there's Derrick Rose kind of think famously had to do away with candy at some point to achieve a certain level of success.
Right. I know. I even know Kevin Durant's a Swedish fish man. I know that. I have that on the low. I can't talk about where I got that information from. He's a Swedish fishman.
Is he now? Does he do the multicolor? Or does he do just the reds?
I think he's a red. I think he's straight down the line red. I mean, it makes sense. If you're a person that likes the red candy, you know, going all in on one candy Swedish fish makes a lot of sense.
Well, I had been talking to Wilson Chandler on Twitter, and the same ingredient that they used in the Swedish fish red candy, they also used in Mountain Dew Co. Red. And I had mentioned to him that he was asking, is it too early to drink coffee in the morning? Or I don't know, something like that. I said, it's never too early for Mountain Dew Co. Red. And he said, Mountain Dew Co. Red is a movement and was a movement. And I was like, do you remember there was that period of time when Mountain Dew Co. Red was like, I couldn't go to a sleepover without it. Wow. It was the thing to bring. It'd be like bringing White Claw now to a cookout.
Which is a good thing? Thing that you want? Yeah, okay.
Yeah, it's a good thing.
Yeah.
Overall, a great thing that, of course, there's no positive tests. And it does show that this thing is working. It provides an extreme boost of hope. I mean, if we had a situation like the MLS, where MLS had to do away with two teams from their opening season tournament, if the Nets started getting more cases while in the bubble, that would be a disaster. And our basketball season probably would be over. We are heading in a good direction. And this test news comes out before these scrimmages begin, before play begins next week. I'm sure we'll get more testing news next week and then the week after that. It's heading in the right direction, and that does just feel exciting. But I don't know if you feel how I feel. It still feels distant. Basketball still feels like unattainable almost.
I hope it doesn't feel bad to watch basketball. That's my big fear. It's that the vibe is going to be so off, especially because the Nets team is all in just a weird shambly state. My big fear is that it's just going to be a weird vibe, you know, but you know, we'll work through it. We'll get through it. You know, weird vibe be damned.
I was watching, right before this, I was watching some Yankees highlights from their, I don't know that whatever they're calling it, their summer training game against the Phillies, and someone from the Yankees hits a home run, and the Yes broadcast, they pipe in the crowd noise, though you can see the home run just heading off into empty stands.
Yeah. Right.
Just a wall
they
of
pipe
gray
it in,
and blue.
Eh? Wow.
Yeah,
interesting.
It didn't sound that bad. I felt bad for Michael Kay, who's the announcer, because he had to get the energy up for a home run in an empty ballpark. And particularly baseball is just the structure of a stadium. You're seeing the stands every time. The home run is the most jubilant moment in a baseball game, I guess. And besides when someone steals home, love a good big. And so, but it, a home run, the projection of it, you can see the stands. You see people standing up. You see people going cheering as the ball is going into the stands. Now the ball is just going into just empty seats.
That the NBA production should include everyone should be mic'd up. I just want I want it to be a completely just a filthy broadcast of them cursing each other out and talking massive S, you know? Because that's the only way to because if you're going to have that amount of silence, just lean into it. Don't try to mask it with a piped in, you know, home run shtick. Give me, you know, Caris LeVert talking that sheet to, I don't know, whoever he's playing on the Pelicans on Wednesday.
What if Jared Allen is low key, just the meanest trash talker, KG level. Yeah. You are a cancer patient, Charlie Villanueva. That is what KG said.
I know. So dark.
And Jared Allen comes out and it's
that's playing a dangerous karmic game. I got to tell you to go into that level.
And what's the point? What I needed is the documentary of when talking shit actually shook someone. Yeah. Now, I do remember as a Wizards fan, there's one moment in the Wizards-Cavs rivalry, early LeBron days, when it was Gilbert Arenas versus LeBron.
Mm.
Gilbert was at the free throw line at the end of a game, and it was a very important set of free throws, and LeBron walks up to him and says something in his ear. And I'm pretty sure Gilbert missed at least one, if not both, and Gilbert was a phenomenal free throw shooter. And I was like, God damn it. God damn it, Gilbert. You let him get in your head.
Yeah. You got psyched out. Basketball.
Basketball. I would TNT is one of the broadcast partners for the NBA. So is Disney, ESPN. We have Disney Plus and we have HBO Max. If we don't want to put the live audio feed on the cable network where kids, I guess, could be watching.
Yeah.
Put it on the streaming service. Yeah. You know? Give us raw, uncut NBA basketball.
Dude, now you're talking. Just the 18-plus version of it, you know? And then a whole new, conduit to different sponsors, too. You can finally get that, you know, that MyFreeCams.com sponsorship you've been looking for.
Speaking of sponsors, DraftKings. Grab your peanuts and popcorn. Baseball is back. That's right. The boys will be getting back out on the diamond this week. And while we may not be able to join them in the stadium, there is plenty of action to be had from the comfort of your home. There is no better place to get in on the action than with DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app. To celebrate baseball coming back, DraftKings Sportsbook is offering free bets for every home run your team hits. Taking advantage of this grand slam offer is easy, Brian. All you have to do is place a pregame bet of at least $25 on your home team, and for every home run they hit in that game, you'll get $5 worth of free bets. Additionally, DraftKings Sportsbook is offering all new users a sign-up bonus of up to $1,000. That's that stimulus cash, baby. Don't worry if baseball isn't your game. DraftKings offers great odds and promotions on all sports, ranging from MMA, golf, and basketball. DraftKings Sportsbook is U.S.-based, making it safe, secure, and reliable. Plus, it's easy to deposit and withdraw your funds whenever you want. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code QUICK. When you sign up for limited time, all new users can get a sign-up bonus of up to $1,000. That's code QUICK to get your sign-up bonus of up to $1,000 only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, New Jersey only. Bonus comprised of a first deposit bonus and a first bet match, each up to $500. Deposit bonus requires 25 times played through. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Mike, you're so good at reading that, like the terms of service stuff at the end. You got it. It's really, I'm telling you, the talent. It's like when Ian Eagle does the, like, this copywriters, the blah, 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 you know, like that, just super fast. It's good.
Do you not have a sense of pride every time it's Ian Eagle's? Because Ian Eagle is that is yeah. his voice for the entire NBA. He, right. If you're watching a Suns Kings game,
totally.
You're hearing Ian Eagle. You know,
I do. Like, I feel a lot of pride.
It's an important moment.
Yeah. Personal.
So I wanted to get to one other thing before we get to Greg Popovich. And it has to do with Josiah, our buddy Josiah, who will be discussed in the Greg Popovich.
Threads. Double dibs.
But it was a funny 4 hours, I will say, online, charged up by Mason Plumlee, our buddy Mason Plumlee, coming out of the woodwork. So if you don't know, the Mets are up for sale, and there's one seemed to be primary bidder for the Mets, Steve Cohen, who has a $14 billion net worth, which is significant. But then there's a burgeoning group of athletes and entertainers led by A-Rod and Jennifer Lopez, and Mason Plumlee, also Bradley Beal, but Mason Plumlee is a part of this cabal of athletes and entertainers who are trying to buy the Mets. And I think they've been making a really persuasive argument for why while they may not have ultimately combined as much money as Steve Cohen, they should be considered because of, you know, we're in the moment, you know, for so many teams, ownership is owned by, you know, white men. We should think maybe diversify a little bit. I think that matters in ownership. But our guy Mason Plumlee on masonplumlee.com, my favorite website.
Huge. Yeah, huge.
It's actually my homepage.
Homepage, yeah. I was
gonna say. Homepage, yeah. It's that and Netscape. It's on my Netscape homepage, I should
right.
be honest.
Get it.
So Mason described, and a convincing argument, to be honest, I'm not just making fun of that, but in a really convincing way about why his ownership group should own the Mets. And then he included this line, and this was news, okay? Mm. Here, I'm quoting. And yeah. Spoiler alert, we've got another billionaire sports owner in the mix as a partner. Josiah, who brings our collective net worth to the top of the bid list, which it certainly would if Josiah was in fact part of this team. I believe it was Net Income who first spotted this reference from masonplumlee.com that Josiah may in fact be a part of this Mets bid. Josiah himself on Twitter, still a terrible Twitter handle. I don't even... It's like Josiah 1999-34 yeah. or something. Yeah. Josiah commented on Nets Daily Twitter account saying, yes, it's not true. I am not bidding for the team. I am focusing on the Nets. So I have a couple of questions for you, Brian. How do you think this happened? How do you think Josiah's name gets into Mason Plumlee's orbit for that Mason Plumlee believed that Josiah is part of this group? It's a lot of people, I think it's like a total of like 10 people. And he even, Mason Plumlee says, we've added another billionaire. But how does Josiah end up, how does that happen, basically?
I don't know, but are you saying it's because Josiah is not part of the group, like full stock?
He is not part of the group. Yeah.
Yeah. So how does the lowest guy on the totem pole get to thinking that
Josiah is going to be part of this group?
That's a really important question. And I don't have the answer to that outside of like his name was dropped in an email somewhere and Mason combined two lines of it and came away with the wrong answer. I mean, I don't know. Do you have a real answer for this?
Well, Bradley Beal is a part of this group. Great. And maybe there's some collusion conversations happening.
Wow.
Maybe Josiah happens to have Bradley Beal's agent's number.
That's hilarious.
And Brad Beal obviously knows that. And Brad says, hey, Mark Bartlestein, I think, is Brad Beal's agent. Hey, Mark, could you give me Joe's number? I got this isn't basketball related, but I want to have a conversation with him about something else. Maybe those two had a conversation, and Brad Beal then tells MasonPlumlee.com that Josiah may be doing this. And if, in fact, Josiah was part of this Mets bid, my second question for you is, would it be bad or good for the Nets if Josiah had purchased the Mets?
I think it would be weird if he was part of a then ownership group who was going in collectively to get the Mets while owning the Nets in its entirety. I feel like that, I don't know, for some reason that just feels asymmetrical, but I don't know why that doesn't sit well with me. But I don't know. Yeah. I think that's so funny that like that Mason Plumlee would be motor mugging about something that like maybe they were trying to court him and like he just like skipped three steps and went to like announcement territory. That seems possible. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, well, also just as an aside, how's the MLB doing these days financially? Is that a sure bet? I mean, are teams making money over there?
Yeah. Baseball teams make a lot of money.
Do they?
Like
okay.
Of a certain level. And the Mets would be that level. Like the Mets are pretty much guaranteed to make money. They're not the Yankees. The Yankees are guaranteed to make money. They're like, the Yankees are like the Knicks in that way. The Knicks are always going to continue to make so much money. And that's why if anyone ever buys the Knicks from James Dolan, that price tag's $4 billion because the team actually makes money as opposed to like if you bought the Warriors, when you bought the Warriors, that team was not making money or whoever. Right. If you bought the Nets like Josiah did, the Nets don't really make that much money, at least we're told. The Mets make money because they're in New York and they do have a big fan base, not as big as the Yankees, but a big fan base. I kind of agree with you that I don't want Josiah on the Mets. Because I kind of like the Nets had previously been the Nets. The Mets are kind of a black hole of despair. I don't know if you know about that.
Yeah. It doesn't seem to be a good situation over there. Cursed in a different way.
I don't want Joe. I want Joe's full attention.
Yeah. Yes.
To be on your Brooklyn Nets.
Right.
And the Mets need help. And he would have to go in with A-Rod and Jennifer Lopez and try to fix the team. Now, the one big way to fix the team is to spend more money. The team has always been lacking in funds, particularly after the Madoff scandal when the owners lost a whole bunch of money in that Madoff scandal. So they've been hamstrung by that. And Josiah has got that cash.
I also like it not just as like an attention thing, which I totally agree with, but also as like it seems like it was more of like a hand-selected asset from like an entrepreneur, you know, tech billionaire was just graced with this is an undervalued thing that's going to make a lot of money. It just makes the Nets feel more special in that way. And they're my precious. That's my thing. I like the Nets. Those are my guys.
I will say though, the positive would have been, again, there's still a possibility that Josiah joins this group because the founder of Vitamin Water is a part of it.
Oh,
the owner of the Florida Panthers hockey team, who's a billionaire, is a part of it. A-Rod, J-Lo, MasonPlumlee.com is a part of it.
It's too much of a hodgepodge it's not special enough.
But the good thing would have been, you know, Jay-Z is still tangentially, he's not actually involved with the Nets organization, but he is still, he's still cosmically involved, right? And I've enjoyed A-Rod's post-baseball career, though I will not forget what he was like during baseball, which is like, I'm not like a guy who's like sanctity of baseball. You know, I support Barry Bonds and all things, but A-Rod was like a massive cheater and sued the league for his cheating and all that stuff.
Yeah.
But I would love it if Jennifer Lopez could get involved with the Brooklyn Nets. I love.
Interesting.
Give me some J-Lo pixie dust. At one time, I worked with Jennifer's sister, Linda Lopez.
Oh.
A delight.
Oh.
Absolute delight.
Consummate Linda Lopez.
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know anything about Jennifer. Never met Jennifer. But I would, that is what I would like. I
so
would
you're
like,
looking for your own entry point into the Lopez family. That's, you are trying to finagle a way into the good graces of the other Lopezes.
So we've talked about this. We've always said we want a third co-host.
Yeah.
And I've always
That'd be a good get.
I've always said Jennifer Lopez would have been a great third co-host for the Glue Guys. You have been adamant it'd be Gary Busey, and I couldn't. I know there's similarities, but I just
that's funny that you bring up Gary Busey, because I just went down a rabbit hole of looking up his nephew. I think it's Michael Busey. Have you seen this kid?
No, I'm excited now.
Oh God, I need to see. Well, anyways, he's got this whole thing, this insane YouTube presence called like the Sausage Castle that he just makes, like, it's sort of like the Jackass movies, but like as just like a more sort of concurrent lifestyle sort of thing.
His nephew? And
his nephew. I think it's Michael Busey.
Mike Busey, yeah.
Mike Busey, yeah.
Does kind of look like him too.
He does. He looks a lot like him, and then but just like a just an inflated version. He's an interesting, interesting YouTube presence. Strong recommend. Other people go down that rabbit hole, but don't spend 2 hours on it like I did, though.
It's Guy Fieri.
Yeah, Guy Fieri.
Busey vibes.
And it's the personality kind of merged, too. It's pretty similar with like a little, like I was saying, like a Johnny Knoxville thrown in or something.
And he lives in the Orlando area, so maybe he can get in with the bubble action.
Yeah.
And apparently he's running a Juggalo strip club.
Right.
So that you probably knew that. I know you know that. That's probably where you began.
Yeah.
Like, that was your entry point.
That was what I was Googling for to begin with, and then led me to Mike.
Okay. Before we get to the one, the Greg Popovich conspiracy theory du jour, I do just want to tell you about one super great thing that's happening here at The Athletic, and it's called The Athletic NBA Show. The Athletic NBA Show is a 5 times a week podcast with some of the hugest names that we have here at The Athletic relating to basketball. I'm talking about David Aldridge, Ethan Strauss, Marcus Thompson, Zach Harper, Sam Amick, Waz Lambre, Dave DeFore, Mo DeKeel, Jay King, Seth Partnow, Kavitha Davidson, Jason Quick, John Hollinger, Fred Katz. I'll probably never talk on any of those shows, but sometimes I'll produce them. I produce some of those shows at times, various times. It's really just what the best thing about it is, it is 5 days a week, but each show is different. Amick's show is more of a sit down interview. He'll have like Doc Rivers or someone really smart on. David Aldridge and Waz Lambre's show is talking about like cultural issues, while also David has this incredible Rolodex. So I actually helped him produce a show with Dr. Sanjay Gupta. That's a super nice guy, as anyone would expect. And a big sports fan. So he was on. And then you have like Nerder She Wrote, which is on Fridays. That's Dave DeFore, Mo DeKeel, and Seth Partnow. If you don't know about Seth, and I'll get him on the show sometime soon. He used to be the analytics chief, basically, at the Milwaukee Bucks. He used to work with Jason Kidd and Mike Budenholzer, but he was in the front office. Really smart guy. So what's great about all these shows, they're all a little bit different. So you can listen to one on Tuesday, you kind of save an interview for later. Dive in, go on to your podcast app, whatever podcast app you like, and search The Athletic NBA Show. That's where you're going to want to be if you want daily NBA conversation, analysis, and deep dives.
No joke, Mike. I'm downloading this right now.
Speaking of deep dives, on Monday, I was motivated by something I can't really describe. It was a feeling inside of me, an urging. You know when you get sort of those premonitions and you can't really pinpoint what it is? It's foggy, right? It's you, but you know the direction you want to go in, right? It's like when Harry Potter, I think it was in episode, in book five, he took a potion that was, the potion was meant to, so you only would have a good day. And the potion itself led him down this path that ended up saving the day in some sort.
A good day potion? Is it?
Oh. Everything that happened in that day would be good.
That's why I hate these books. The good day potion. What is this?
Anyways, I was just, I felt something in me that I knew that in my head that Greg Popovich was going to become your head coach for your Brooklyn Nets. And what I wanted to do was, okay, I need support for that. The feeling is one thing, but I need support. So what we do know about the Nets' head coach is there's basically four main decision makers, and they're all intertwined. Joe Tsai obviously will be involved. This is the coach of his team. He will be involved. Sean Marks is the guy allegedly picking the coach. Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant, we know, will be consulted. Sean Marks has said so publicly. These guys are going to be consulted, and they should. Okay, so the next coach has to be approved by Kyrie and KD. They're not going to hire like the fourth assistant on the Spurs bench that maybe Sean Marks has a connection with just because Sean really likes him and believes in him, because KD and Kyrie probably don't know who that person is and they don't care about that person. Let's remember when KD came to Brooklyn, he said that he watched YouTube videos of Kenny Atkinson. He didn't know really who Kenny Atkinson was. I'm sure he kind of did. I'm sure when he played against Brooklyn, he was like, oh, this team plays a nice style. But he didn't know Kenny Atkinson. Kyrie Irving is a different cat. I think that's a polite way to say it. And he, what he would may want in this next coach, he's had a lot of different types of coaches. He had a lot of different coaches in Cleveland. And then he had Brad Stevens, who, until Brad Stevens got Kyrie, Brad Stevens had the highest approval rating possible for a coach that had never really won anything. But he was really high approval rating. So what does Kyrie want? We are led to believe that Jacque Vaughn has a shot at this job. But I don't think, I actually don't think he really does. Like, Jacque Vaughn would need Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant to be playing in Orlando to impress upon them more of his coaching style, his individual coaching style, and not be an assistant, for them to really give him a full consideration. There's a shot he could get the job, but I still think, I hearken back to the Brian Windhorst quote that the Nets are looking for a blue chip coach. Now, 3 weeks ago, there was a report from Gerald Brown, who was a former player, saying that he's heard rumors the Nets are going to make a godfather offer for Greg Popovich. Now, a godfather offer would have to involve Joe Tsai. And we know how involved Joe Tsai is. And there have been rumors that Joe Tsai was kind of one of the motivating factors for why Kenny Atkinson is no longer the coach.
Can we just for a second just zero in on the rhetoric of the Godfather offer? Because in the Godfather offer is like they threaten to kill you and it's an offer you can't refuse. I'm wondering what in this case it's supposed to mean. Just that it's a good offer? Is that the... It's like a really a nice, like expensive one.
Yeah. I don't think they're going to put a horse's head in Greg Popovich's bed.
Right. That's the offer. That's a godfather offer. Anyways, sorry. Just my.
Do you think that we should, the phrase, obviously it's an offer you can't refuse as well, right? Like you said, but should we change the phrase from a godfather offer? Like, does it, because as you're saying, the godfather offer actually ends up being murder.
Yeah. Well, like, or you do the thing. Murder. Yeah, the threat of murder. It's an offer you can't refuse because if you refuse, you die. That's the, which I'm open to the idea that this is one of those situations. That checks out for me. But yeah, I just want to make sure we're all on the same page.
And then to pick up on another thread that had happened recently was we found out that Greg Popovich's home, which has been on the market for 4 years, but it has been declining in price and they dropped the price again. His gorgeous home in San Antonio that has
another big drop, eh?
A reclaimed Jerusalem wine cellar.
Are you almost ready to go in on that with me, Mike? Are we going to move this show to San Antonio?
I mean, if we keep pumping these DraftKings ads and LA's ads, we're going to be rolling in it.
Yeah.
That's true. Okay. So the next coach needs to get the approval of Kyrie Irving, Kevin Durant. Sean Marks has to, but the Sean Marks has to like that person because Marks isn't going to put up like a coach that he has no relationship with. I don't think Sean Marks is going to hire a Jason Kidd type who may want Sean's job as well. You know, I still think Tsai probably trusts Sean Marks enough that he's not going to do that.
Jason Kidd wants everyone. So he wants the scorer's table. He wants the, you're selling popcorn up and down the stands. He's got his eye on your job. He wants everyone's job, Mike.
Okay. So what I did was I investigated Pop's relationship with Kyrie, Kevin Durant, Sean Marks, which is the easiest one. And then finally, the last piece is why would Pop leave San Antonio? So let's begin with Kyrie Irving. This is a headline from 2016 or something, 2017. I'm not sure when exactly it was because I didn't put down the date. Spurs reportedly tried really hard to acquire Kyrie Irving. This is from Ramona Shelburne. This is on the point when Kyrie's up in the air. You know, it's a possibility that he's going to be traded, and he ends up being traded to the Boston Celtics. Ramona Shelburne of ESPN noted to Woj that San Antonio tried really, really hard to get him when discussing Irving on SportsCenter with Scott Van Pelt. Now, our buddy, Doug Barrick, tweeted at me a tweet from 2017 from Woj saying, sources, colon, in the Kyrie Irving meeting with the Cavs, one primary team raised as a preferred trade destination for him, the San Antonio Spurs. It's very interesting. Kyrie at the time, now, you know, in 2017, so a while ago, wanted to play for the Spurs. And probably the only reason why anyone would ever want to play for the Spurs is because he wanted to play for Greg Popovich. And, of course, if you Google Greg Popovich, Kyrie Irving, there are pictures of them hugging deeply. And a through line throughout all of this is Team USA. Pop is involved with Team USA. Kyrie is involved with Team USA. They have been together at times where Kyrie has seen Popovich's coaching style, and I'm sure he really likes it. Everyone loves playing for Pop. Pop is seemingly a guy, and I think you could talk about what you think appeals about Pop to Kyrie, but I think it's like Pop is the guy who will hand you a book and be like, I want you to read this book in a month, and then we'll talk about it. And while you're reading it, but let's also talk about like pick and roll offense and how to properly get around it. Like he's both the basketball coach and sort of the mentor, the professor,
the spiritual leader,
spiritual leader. And that appeals, I'm sure, to Kyrie Irving. Pop and KD, Brian, this was from just this past year. Okay. Headline: Greg Popovich wants Kevin Durant in Tokyo Olympics only if fully healthy. Huh? Someone who cares about Kevin Durant's health. I think that is going to be important. This is from an ESPN story, but Pop said this anywhere. Someone asked him whether he would want Kevin Durant in the Olympics. He says, my feeling on that is I would want Kevin to be absolutely ready to go, working out, playing 5-on-5, that his organization, he both feel like it's time to play. I wouldn't want him to be part of being 60% or 70%, just being in shape for the Olympics. Here's a quote, Brian. He's got a career to take of here with the Nets. I would rather have him do that if he's not totally ready to play this summer. We know that Kevin Durant was semi-targeting coming back to play for the Olympics. To play, not necessarily for Greg Popovich, but he would have played for Greg Popovich. Popovich is saying here that he's got to think of his career with the Nets, Brian.
Mm-hmm.
And also he's doing the pro player thing. Of course he wants Kevin Durant on the floor with him when they want to reclaim gold in Tokyo, which obviously now will be pushed back till next year. But he's saying, no, Kevin, focus on your health. He's sending a message to Durant, focus on your health. And you can see there's a lot of pictures of them, you know, hugging each other too online. And there was a video from Anthony Slater from The Athletic from 2016 where Slater is talking to Kevin Durant, and Pop had just been given the job, and Kevin Durant says, oh, that's tight.
Mm. So I liked the wording of that when you said there's pictures of them hugging, lots of pictures of them hugging two online, which I inferred to mean that you have a separate hard drive full of offline pictures of them hugging. That was the takeaway that I had.
Okay. So here's what we've built up so far. Kyrie had previously wanted to play for Greg Popovich and the Spurs, and Kevin Durant thinks Popovich is tight as a coach, and that Pop has already messaged to Kevin Durant that health is important, that his health is important, and that Durant's career with the Nets is important. Now, this is the easiest. You're laughing.
It's good. When you get more and more, I like the theater of it.
The end is the part that I'm proud of.
I know. You're building. It's great. Yeah. Keep going.
Greg Popovich and Sean Marks. I mean, I don't really need to do this. We all know how much Pop loves Sean Marks, but here's a few key quotes. This is when Marks was hired in Brooklyn in 2016. Pop says, it would have been a crime, in parentheses, if he didn't get hired. Okay? So Pop loves him. So, and then in 2018, here's the sub headline from a Nets.com post. The five-time NBA championship winning coach is impressed with the culture his protege is building in Brooklyn. And Pop said about Sean Marks, his intelligence level is off the charts. Sense of humor is off the charts. I love that. Compassionate and empathetic guy, yet willing to make decisions. He exhibited gravitas. Sean, he's going to stay the course. He's persistent. He has doggedness. And then the final piece, which actually is the most interesting. So Joe Harris was on, I guess it was the FIBA Championships this past summer, or, you know, last year, 2019, a team that Greg Popovich coached that I think USA came in like seventh. We were horrible. But Joe Harris was on the team. And this is what a reporter was asking Joe Harris, why you're on the team. And Joe said, well, Pop told me that he didn't know anything about me, but that he, Pop, loves Sean Marks. And Sean thinks pretty highly of me, Joe Harris. So you, Joe Harris, are all right in my Greg Popovich's book.
Wow. Whoa.
So
that's a big one, Mike.
And that also is coming from Joe Harris, who is like not a guy like
that's like the most. That's honestly that's an incredibly humble for a professional athlete to do. Like the guy doesn't even really know who I am. It's like you gotta love Joe Harris.
And so it's another thread of like Pop declaring his love for Sean Marks. And it will be important. I think, you know, this decision isn't going to be completely made who the next Nets head coach will be is not fully going to be made about who Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving want. Sean Marks is going to be the guy interviewing people and is going to be sort of, you remember when Mitt Romney had his binder full of women? Yeah. And during the campaign, I guess for VP nominations, I think that was, or to fill his cabinet with if he won the election. Who's building the binder full of women for the Nets? It's Sean Marks. And then maybe Kyrie Irving will flip through that binder and pick out the coach that he will want or he would prefer in some way.
You think so it'll Marks, look like that? Like a bunch of Pokemon cards in a binder?
What Pokemon is Greg Popovich most like?
See, you're the Pokemon guy, Mike. I don't, you know I can't answer this.
It's a rock monster, probably. Yeah. Some...
Onyx?
Onyx, yeah. Oh, that's pretty good, actually. Yeah. Nailed it. Yeah. Okay. So we have Kyrie Irving wanted to play for the Spurs. Kevin Durant, Pop concerned about his health, and Durant thinking that Pop is a tight coach. Sean Marks, Greg Popovich, tremendous relationship. But Brian, pray tell, why would Greg Popovich, five-time NBA champ in San Antonio, has lived his entire professional life in San Antonio, why would he want to leave San Antonio?
Well, Godfather offer, you know, his life is, there's a threat against his life. And so he's got to take, no, I think I know what you're going to say, but I don't want to spoil it. Go ahead.
And I don't say this lightly, even though I was like joking leading up to it. Yeah. Politics. Okay.
Big one. The big P.
Pop has always been a rebel and an outspoken advocate for quite liberal views. Most people just say they're human rights views. You know, Black Lives Matter, respecting other people, not hating immigrants. You know, Pop has always been vocal about that. Dave Zirin from, I forget what website he's at now, but Dave Zirin's a sports writer who's very much along those lines. And Pop would call Dave Zirin up on his radio show or podcast or whatever. And Pop would often just, you know, trash Trump or whoever he was. He's very, Pop doesn't like to talk about anything, but particularly in this moment, he's very outspoken. He was on the TNT show last night, The Arena, with Kerry Champion and Charles Barkley and Draymond Green and Dwayne Wade, wearing a Black Lives Matter t-shirt, talking very, you know, profoundly about race in America and what we need to do to improve these things and what needs to happen. And particularly has been critical of what's been happening in Washington with the Trump administration. So here's a headline Very recent headline from the San Antonio Express News, which is I believe is the paper of record for San Antonio. Popovich's views on Trump run counter to Holt donation. Holt is the family that runs and owns the San Antonio Spurs. Okay? And here's the beginning paragraph of that story. Spurs chairwoman Juliana Hahn Holt was one of South Texas's biggest donors to the presidential campaign of Donald Trump, but she has apparently not asked Spurs coach Greg Popovich to stop criticizing the president-elect. Now, here's the quote. Of course she wouldn't. If she did, we would know about it. But this is what Pop said about that specifically. Asked if the Holt family has given him the freedom to say what he wants about Trump, Popovich said, quote, "They haven't given me that freedom. I live in America. That's what gives me the freedom. There are no individual people that give me that freedom." Interesting that he chose to say that, right? Because he could have gone with, they don't need to give me the freedom, but the Holt family has supported me in allowing me to flex my First Amendment rights. Pop isn't delicate with his words, so I'm not being too critical here, but he is saying specifically, I am doing this because I want to do it, and no one can tell me I can't do it, i.e. Holt family, you cannot tell me. Now, the Holt family is a massive supporter of Trump and the Republican Party, and there's a really good Tom Ziller thread. Tom Ziller, who used to write for SB Nation, he has a Good Morning It's Basketball. It's a newsletter where it dives into the Holt family and the Spurs have been quiet while Greg Popovich has been very outspoken about these things. Greg Popovich himself, representing the Spurs, I'm putting around quotes, but really representing himself, talking about in this moment about Black Lives Matter. And the Spurs franchise is not really extending itself in the way that Pop is. And within the Tom Ziller piece, there's a link to opensecrets.org, which is a website that tracks donor information. And if you look up the owner of the Spurs, Juliana Holt, it is riddled with people she's been donating for Republicans. She herself, and it classifies her as a rancher. That is her job. I believe the Holt family started Caterpillar tractors. But she gave basically to every the maximum limit to every Republican state committee in the country. And while, of course, supporting Republicans doesn't necessarily mean you're against Black Lives Matter, but her fervent support for President Trump, if you're Greg Popovich, could be problematic. So I sit here and I look at that. Pop has been increasingly vocal, increasingly putting himself out there to talk about the causes that matter to him. Causes that would seem not to be aligned with the Holt family donation history. Okay. Pop is at the end of his career. The Spurs are not that good, and they don't have an obvious path to becoming good next season, the season after even, right? Unless if Giannis has already told Pop that he's going to come to San Antonio, which of course has never been said, and we have no clue why that would be. If I am Pop and I want to finish out my career with a contender, I maybe also want to be in a place that is more vocal and more in line with my beliefs. Joe Tsai has spoken publicly about how proud he is that Barclays is the congregation point for Black Lives Matter protests. I think it's a possibility that if Pop is being so vocal about this, about Black Lives Matter and about being an advocate, that coaching for and running the team for a family that is pro-Trump may be problematic. And Joe Tsai is probably one of the few owners in sports of the percentage-wise that doesn't seem to be aggressively pro-Trump. So anyways, all of that combined, I think levels in the chance that Pop may be dissatisfied in San Antonio and that he may consider Brooklyn. Brooklyn would be at the top of his list, I believe, if he decided to leave San Antonio.
There it is. Convincing. I'm convinced. I'm on board.
Thank you, man.
It's up to everybody else now to digest the facts. Mike, do we want or need 5 stars?
We need 5 stars. Go on iTunes, rate us 5 stars. We want and we need. We have to have them. Brian has agreed to dunk himself in maple syrup.
Always naked. You know the drill.
And currently no, this naked. Time you're going to be fully clothed in right. maple
that
syrup.
That would be worse.
Yeah. And he's going to reenact the scene from Batman where Joker falls into the vat of
acid. Yeah, OG, Jack Nicholson. Well, Mike, thank you so much.